Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, just announced yesterday, headline news, here's the title, Largest Reserves of Untapped Oil Ever Discovered. And it's not in the Middle East either. And we're going to tell you about this $900 billion discovery in just a minute. Well, there's also an all-out assault by the left, the globalists, and the former Clinton campaign on President-elect Trump's transition team and his selections. You need to know about this and what's being done so you can be forewarned. We're also going to invite in on today's program our friend of freedom and constitutional attorney, scholar David New. He's going to give us his perspective on the Trump election, and he's going to give us another perspective in defense of the Electoral College. Bear in mind that the Clinton supporters and election naysayers are still trying to sabotage the Electoral College vote, which has to occur officially before Donald Trump and Mike Pence can actually be moved forward, because this is the official vote. That doesn't come up until December the 19th. Well, hello and welcome to Stand in a Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler again as well. Gary Dahl is away on vacation for this week, much needed, and we hope that he, in fact, really does get refreshed. But Dave, let me start right in with what I started with here today, because I don't think this, I've seen this too much out there, but it sure did catch my eye. This is the headline again, Largest Reserves of Untapped Oil Ever Discovered. And Dave, it wasn't discovered in Saudi Arabia or anywhere else in the Middle East. It was in Texas. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Untapped oil in Texas, largest reserves in the world ever found. Here's part of it. Estimated 20 billion barrels of oil and another 1.6 billion barrels. It's in the what's called the Permian Basin. It's in West Texas, and it's ready to be, as they say, coaxed from the earth, valued at $900 billion. It is based on the prevailing per barrel crude price. That's where the $900 billion comes from. If you have the price of oil go up any at all, that number goes up. This is a quote. This is the largest estimate of continuous oil that the United States Geological Survey has ever assessed in the United States. The Wolf Camp Shale in the Midland Basin portion of Texas Permian Basin, that province contains an estimated mean of 20 billion barrels of oil, 16 trillion cubic feet of associated natural gas, and 1.6 billion barrels of natural gas liquids, according to the assessment. End quote. Dave, I think the announcement of this is an amazing, amazing thing, because it says something about potential economic gains for the state of Texas, about the United States. And when Donald Trump said, I want to do what I can to make America great. We want to be independent from foreign oil. And he had an intent, and he said, we want to bring jobs back to the United States. I look at that, Dave, and I say, wow, is this an answer to prayer that this comes out? Perhaps, because this has the ability to generate great economic independence, jobs, and a lot of things. Give me your thoughts on this.
Well, Sam, in one sense, I'm not the least bit surprised that they found that kind of oil reserve in the state of Texas. I've driven through that area of West Texas many, many times, and the oil has been there. They have just not been able to get it out of the ground because of all the regulation that has taken place over the last number of decades. But, you know, Sam, I do believe it is an answer to prayer. I think it is like what has happened with the stock market. You know, there were all the predictors of gloom and doom. If Donald Trump is elected, the stock market's going to crash. And there were all the future predictions, you know, that precisely was going to occur. Sam, the exact opposite has happened. And, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, the scripture says, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I believe there's something of a supernatural nature going on here. I don't think this discovery is coincidental at all. We have everything we need within the borders of the United States of America from an energy standpoint, oil standpoint. So let's go get it out of the ground.
Yeah, Dave, I agree with that. And I would add to that, this oil deposit here happens not to be, they don't have to frack that, get this. This is real oil deposits that they can pump straight up vertically. This is not the fracking. So really, Dave, this represents a find that is not been held up by regulation, as in the fracking. This is on top of what they had previously found with the frack. I think that's very, very significant. And we're not saying, and just because the market went up either, Dave, that it's going to stay up. There are a lot of naysayers out there. There's a lot of folks saying it's about to crash. But I do believe, Dave, just as those people said, there's no way that a Hillary could lose, and she did, that at the end of the day, God is in control and he can make things happen. And I think this kind of thing, I'm putting in that category, frankly.
I agree with you, Sam. And if it's not a fracking situation, then this is a no-brainer, Sam. Let's go get the oil. It's there. It's easy to extract from the ground. Let's go get it.
Absolutely. Now, Dave, another item I want to bring up here at the beginning of this program that we've mentioned is that the Democrats, the globalists, the George Soros group that's meeting down there, the establishment Marxist types that are in Washington, that are in Congress, I tell you, and the media are doing everything they can to harm this developing administration. They are attacking the president-elect. They are attacking his appointees. They are ascribing many lies to what's happening, including that the president had sought top-level clearance, for instance, for all of his children, which makes it look like there's a dastardly deed that's coming in the way. It's not true. It didn't happen. Now, here's one. 169 congressional Democrats. They sent a letter to the president-elect yesterday, 169 congressional Democrats, calling on Trump to dump his advisor, Steve Bannon, charging and alleging allegations, Dave, that are not true. Speak to this a little bit, because people have got to keep this whole thing in the front of their mind of the continued attack that is underway against this new administration.
Sam, I watched CNN this morning for just a few minutes, and I thought I was on another planet. It was absolutely amazing. There was no news being reported. It was this incessant attempt to dig up dirt and manufacture a case against Donald Trump and the selections that he is making as far as these key cabinet positions and these key administration positions. We had Michelle Bachmann on this program on Tuesday, and Sam, I want to say this. She spoke highly of Steve Bannon. She talked about his incredible intellect. She talked about how creative he is. She talked about what he has already brought to the Trump team during the campaign, and that he is going to be a critical, vital component as chief strategist. If 169 Democrats are calling for him to be dismissed, that ought to be evidence enough that he needs to be kept. That means he is probably a good guy, because the Democrats call evil good and good evil. I would disregard that, which I'm sure Trump's going to do, and he's going to keep him on board. He's not going to fire him at all.
Well, absolutely, Dave. And again, this group says you need to get rid of him because the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center are opposed to Bannon. Dave, that's all you need to know with those Marxist organizations. Anybody
exactly
they oppose,
right, Sam.
Put them on the right side of the category. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr here. Our special guest, David New, is going to join us in the next segment. We're going to talk about the Electoral College, which continues to be under attack. David's going to give a defense from his perspective of why it must remain. Stay with us. Enjoy it. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But waiting different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
I'm Laura Pasquello, travel planner for Dogpag Tours. In honor of WFYL's 5th anniversary in 2017, we have collaborated with the station on a really unique World War II history tour to Europe. The tour's theme,
So Help Me God,
Faith on the Battlefield. The itinerary will explore both battle sites where liberation from the Nazi occupation was achieved and visit sacred places, churches and cathedrals, small and grand, which served as shelters, hospitals, and rally points for those with boots on the ground. A few of the highlights, Normandy, we'll stop at the landing beaches at Utah and Omaha. We'll visit Breakhorn Manor, where Pennsylvania's Major Dick Winters had his first test of leadership. We'll stop at a church where medics treated civilians, American GIs, and even German soldiers. In Bastogne, we'll visit the foxholes, where members of Easy Company struggled during the early fighting in the Battle of the Bulge. For more information, check the WFYL website or go to www.dogpagtours.com. Call 717-417-USA1.
The quote by Bill Schuster, our veterans accepted the responsibility to defend America and uphold our values when duty called.
WFYL, this is Russ.
Russ, I missed my favorite radio program. Is there any way to listen to it after it's been aired?
Well, you can go to our website, 1180WFYL.com. That's 1180WFYL.com, and listen to our podcast.
What's a podcast?
A podcast is a show or program that is archived on a website, which you can access from your mobile phone or computer. Just go to our website, 1180WFYL.com, and click on the menu bar the word podcasts. From there, you'll be shown a list of our available programs that we produce locally, and you can listen to them anytime you like, 24/7.
Oh, that sounds great. Thanks so much for your help.
Thank you for calling and for listening. God bless.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, and we're going to go now to our special guest. I'm going to welcome him right now, David New. He's our freedom fighter, our constitutional attorney expert. Dave, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
This is David New, your Washington beat attorney and a proud member of the basket full of deplorables.
Ah, oh, brother, it's good to have another deplorable in this basket today.
We have a full basket today, don't we, Sam?
Well, we do indeed. And I want to hear some special information from you, deplorable David New. on this issue of the Electoral College, you know, I don't want our listeners to walk away from us right now saying, well, we heard it before. But there's something that you want to bring new to this issue. On Monday of this week, Dave Kistler's brother Dan, who is an historian, he's a teacher, gave us a good background from an historical perspective. I then gave a little bit of a treatise in the second segment on Monday, more from a legislative and a principial perspective of separation of powers and the difference between a republic and a democracy and why an electoral college favors a republic, not a democracy. But you, as a constitutional attorney, said there's even more that I can bring to this discussion. So I'm going to turn it over to you right now, David New, and inform us all, David and I and the listeners, a little bit more about why the Electoral College really is not a good idea that it is replaced. Let's put it that way. Go ahead. Tell us what you know.
Yes, actually, when we use the Electoral College system, ladies and gentlemen, we are effectively voting for president the way early Americans in 1787 and 1788 voted for the Constitution. Those votes are fundamentally the same type of votes. We are voting as states. When it says in the Constitution, we the people, it does not mean we as one giant common mass. It really means we the people of the states. And that changes your political ideology enormously once you understand the significance and the difference between the two. The states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. It's the other way around. The states created the federal government to be its agent for foreign affairs and for issues where the states differ, where they fight over land and rivers and territory. There has to be a neutral party for that, and that's where the federal government comes in. When the Constitution was originally drafted in August of 1787, the original preamble said, we the people of the states of New Hampshire. Then it goes from north to south, right on down, listing all the states, ending with Georgia. And that, of course, is identical with the Articles of Confederation. That's how it begins. By September, with the days of the convention ending, they changed that because new states would be added, and they knew that. So they crossed out we the people of the states, and just left it we the people. But that's what it really means. It does not mean as one common mass. It can't mean that. Because as each state voted for the Constitution changes different states and it changes their laws in different ways. If you say that that means one common mass, that means you're saying the voter in New York, when he votes to ratify the Constitution, he is effectively changing the laws of Virginia when they're voting as a common mass, or vice versa. And that cannot be. A New York voter can't change the laws of Virginia, and vice versa. And that's why it's by state. Only people in New York have the right to change New York laws, and when they vote for the U.S. Constitution, that changes the New York Constitution in ways that it doesn't change any other state. And that's not why it's not one common mass. And if you look at Article 7, the very first sentence says exactly what I'm just saying right now. It says the ratification of the convention of 9 states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this Constitution. The states created it. When it says we the people, it means what it says in Article 7. The states are the creators of the federal government. Now, why is that important? We want to continue to elect presidents the way they created the Constitution, by state. There are several reasons why you want to do that. Number one, it keeps politicians locally loyal to their own state. Had Al Gore been loyal to the values of Tennessee, he would have been president. But he wasn't. He went off the la land and he became a loon. And that's why he lost his own state, and that cost him the presidency. If you make it a straight popular vote, the small states disappear. When you look at the first 5 states, the first top 5, that's California, Texas, New York, Florida, and Illinois, you've got 35% of the vote. When you add the next 5, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, you are now at 52.5%. When you add the next group, New Jersey, Virginia, Washington, Massachusetts, Indiana, you are now at 64% of the vote. What does that mean? It means a politician won't care about the rest of the 35 states. What does that mean for you voters in Pennsylvania? What does that mean for you voters in Michigan? If it was a straight popular vote, it wouldn't have mattered what your state did. The reason why Trump is president today is because he told the people in Pennsylvania, he told the people in Michigan, I'm going to get a better trade deal for you. You have lost jobs. These trade deals have benefited Wall Street and not the worker, and I'm going to fix that. That is probably why Michigan and Pennsylvania went for Trump. The fourth reason, if you make it a straight popular vote, it will be the city that will be, the president's interest will be that of a city dweller. The rural America will be gone. And the moment you do that, what you lose is inclusion. You want to have all the states feel like they're participating in the government. If you just recall, in the last election, there were two states, two small, know-nothing states, that were very important to both Trump and Hillary Clinton. That was New Hampshire and that one delegate vote in Maine. They were fighting over that. You make it a straight popular vote, you can forget about ever hearing about Maine or New Hampshire ever again.
Dave, you got another one. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes.
The
fifth reason you want to make it a electoral college, if you switch it to a popular vote, it now becomes a coastal government. The interests of the coastal states will predominate the president's interest. That means California, Texas, New York, Florida. Those are your top four right there. Even Illinois is a coastal state to some extent because of Chicago. Those five states are coastal states. Their interests are very different than Kansas and Nebraska and the Dakotas. Again, if you cut those, if you make that the ticket of how he gets elected or she gets elected, you have now lost the value of inclusion. You want to keep everybody together. In effect, we are voting 50 times for the president, well, 51, with the District of Columbia. That forces the president to look at the whole country together as one unit and not to be a regional candidate, which the popular vote would do. Okay, what would you like to ask?
Well, David, that was a great, great treatise and a great line of defense for why we should be where it is. And you actually shared some things that I had not actually didn't know some of those details. But if I were to summarize what you're saying is that, again, you are making a defense for individual sovereign states within the concept of a republic versus a democracy or versus a heavily consolidated large central government, which was an issue of debate in those early days, but we've tended to get away from that. So if you were to sum it up, you are making the case for why the Electoral College does, in fact, to the best of one's ability, defend a sovereign state concept within a republic, and by moving it into anything else would attack and undermine that very fundamental concept. Is that what you're saying?
If you want to make this a popular vote, you might as well get rid of the U.S. Senate. You've got the U.S. Senate. You've got these places like North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Vermont, Delaware, Alaska, who practically nobody's there. Okay, which is why they only have three electoral college votes. Two of those three are their senators. It is not a one-man, one-vote principle in the United States, and that is the U.S. Senate. It is not. Look, the state of South Dakota has more influence, or just as much influence in terms of a vote, as California with 37 million people. Why do we do that? Because this is not a popular-based country. The states created the federal government. The federal government is the agent for the states. You should think of senators, and in the early writings, they would call them ambassadors. They really are, in a true sense of the word, ambassadors for their state.
David, let me ask you this question. Yesterday, Barbara Boxer, the retiring congresswoman from the state of California, proposed
Purdy?
A bill
Isn't
that
she
would
Purdy?
Absolutely...
Go ahead, Dave. Dave, just restate that again, because David New just couldn't contain himself talking about Barbara Boxer.
Oh, I apologize, Dave. I'm sure that was a classic comment.
Tell you what, David Kistler, we have just a couple of seconds before we go into this break. Why don't you hold that question? Let's keep the suspense about Barbara Boxer, because I am sure anything that she recommended is worth repeating. Ha ha. So we'll go on with that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr and David Kistler today. Our special guest, David New, with his view, very, very insightful view, of why we must keep the Electoral College and refuse and understand the attacks that are being made by the Marxists, by the establishments, by the Clinton supporters who want to get rid of a very important element, principle our founders put into place. Now, when we come back, we're going to pick up on this and let David Kistler to ask David New the question.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. President Obama on his final visit to Germany while in office, speaking out on his successor, Russia and free trade, urging Donald Trump to stand up to Russia when it deviates from U.S. values and international norms, to not just cut deals with Russia.
Even if it hurts people, or even if it violates international norms, or even if it leaves smaller countries vulnerable.
At the news conference with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, also stressing the importance of continuing free trade negotiations. Here at home, the Trump transition team looking at another vacancy. National Intelligence Director James Clapper, Fox Radio's Rachel Sutherland.
Testifying before the House Intelligence Committee, Clapper said he believes the Russian government will continue trying to hack U.S. interests after President-elect Donald Trump is sworn in.
Well, that's been a long-standing practice.
Clapper's held the job since 2010 and was previously director of the National Intelligence Agency. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia, broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations, 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It's the week after a momentous election, and so I thought it would be worth taking a bit of a look behind the numbers and not about just who won or who lost. So here goes. Planned Parenthood spent a ton of money this election. They bought a $1.3 million ad buy against Senator Pat Toomey. And it's reported that they spent $30 million in various states, including Pennsylvania, to turn out voters for the presidential contest and for various U.S. Senate races. They mailed hundreds of thousands of flyers, and they boasted their largest volunteer base for the country being right here in Pennsylvania. Their focal point in Pennsylvania was spending against Trump and Toomey. Planned Parenthood, an organization receiving hundreds of millions every year in taxpayer dollars, lost out on both. Find out more about us and our work at the Pennsylvania Family Institute at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, David New, we're going to go back to you as we complete and wrap up our discussion on the Electoral College by going back to Dave Kistler, who had this burning comment he wanted to make about Barbara Boxer and all her glory. Dave, pose the question.
Listen, all I'm going to do is I'm going to say this. I'm going to ask my question or make my comment. Then I want David to share with me his comment about Barbara, because I did miss that. But David, what is amazing to me is this. Barbara Boxer yesterday introduced a bill in Congress. Of course, the bill is going to go nowhere because we're at the end of the year. But basically, she's wanting to abolish the Electoral College system. And then the media is talking about this. And it's amazing to me the ignorance from which they are coming. They are talking about us being a democracy, and no one is, number one, talking about us being a constitutional republic, hence the use of the Electoral College system and the brilliance of the founders in implementing that system. So, number one, I'm stunned by the ignorance of the fact that we are a constitutional republic, not a pure democracy. And then, number two, David, if this were to pick up steam, that is, this attempt to adjust the election system and to move away from the Electoral College, you've already laid out how detrimental that would be and how small states would basically have no voice whatsoever. But if this were to pick up steam and there were to be an attempt to change from the Electoral College system, how would that be constitutionally done?
Well, first of all, I want to again remind the audience to look at Article 4, Section 4, And there it states what kind of government we had. Benjamin Franklin at the end of the convention said, it's a republic if you can keep it. And Article 4, Section 4 says that the United States shall guarantee that every state in the Union shall be a republican form of government. That means we cannot be a theocracy, that means we cannot be a monarchy, and that means we cannot have straight democracy in that sense that they are using the word. Those are excluded by that word republic. What is a republic in Article 4, Section 4? It is people voting for their leaders. We vote for leaders who go to Congress to represent us, and the same thing is done for the states and their local jurisdictions. Now, this cannot be done by a bill. It has to be done by a constitutional amendment. Again, those of you who are in Michigan and those of you who are in Pennsylvania, you swung the election big time in favor of Donald Trump by less than 100,000 votes. He now owes you something. He owes you. He says he's going to protect, get your jobs back. He says he's going to renegotiate those trade deals. So those of you who are in the car industry in the Detroit and Michigan area are going to benefit, and so will those of you who are in Pennsylvania. He owes you. If it was a straight popular vote, your 70,000 votes that made him, that gave the votes to him for the Electoral College, are gone. California soaks it up.
So David, what you're saying is this.
It's going to be real hard. It's going to be real hard for this thing to change. Now I want to talk as a conservative voter. I'm no longer talking now as a student of the Constitution. We would have to be crazy to ever go along with any change to the Electoral College. We conservatives would lose big time. 16 states, including the District of Columbia, have five or less electoral college. That is enough to block any chance of a change. Always the big states like California wanted to go straight popular because they know they'll be the biggest king of the block. Those 16 states total up to 59 electoral college votes, which beats California by just four because California has 55.
David, the point I was getting at, and you addressed it just very briefly, you touched on it. The fact of the matter is this, for any kind of change to take place in the Electoral College system, it has to be an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. So the fact that Barbara Boxer would introduce a bill in Congress to change the Electoral College system betrays her gross ignorance of the Constitution itself.
Well, I haven't read that bill, but let me also put it, if she wants to abolish the Electoral College altogether, that would require an amendment to the Constitution. There are some jurisdictions who have said, we will give an Electoral College vote on the basis of whether or not you win a congressional district. That can be done without an amendment, but you still have the Electoral College, which means people in North Dakota and South Dakota and Wyoming, which favors the conservatives all the time, even the folks who are freezing in Alaska, all of those people, they all give us a strong base for the conservative to have a chance to win.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that if hearing this discussion today, you can go to standinthegapradio.com into the archives for Monday of this week. The first two segments were on this subject, and on this program today, on the 17th, is now a part of this. Together, these three discussions give you perhaps a better understanding, in-depth consideration of the Electoral College, perhaps than anything that you may find in a couple of years' worth of schoolroom work. Really great stuff. David New, thank you for providing your perspective and further information on it. Now, I'd like to shift, if we could, Dave, David New. To this concept, we've been asking and had people on here talking about the response of people to the election of Donald Trump. We've traveled to the Middle East yesterday and talked with Jimmy DeYoung about the Middle East leaders. We've gone to the Far East and we've talked about the response of the Philippine leader and European leaders. We're going to have our guest on tomorrow. We're going to be doing that again, but from the perspective of a former Iraqi Muslim and an expert in that area. He's going to give us that update tomorrow, IQ Avrasuli. It's going to be a very, very great program tomorrow. But I want to go to you, and I want to ask you, as a constitutional attorney and someone who's a very great historian, what perspective did you have, and what's the takeaway as you see it from this election last Tuesday?
Well, there are several It was a shocker. I mean, if I had dentures, they would have gone right out of my mouth. They just would have flown right out. I mean, I'm telling you, I needed a seatbelt. Everybody was trying to calm me down, but it was so exciting and wonderful. But I'll say this, if we can get this, if he can do almost half the things he wants to do, this could lay a foundation for a spiritual revival, in my opinion, in this country, because he is getting ready to make a shift on the Supreme Court from a pro-choice Supreme Court to a pro-life Supreme Court. That's number one. Number two, he also wants to do away with the laws that prohibit churches from speaking their minds about what they think they should do in an election. Number three, he has backtracked a little bit on his same-sex marriage issue. But let me tell you something. The same judges that will vote pro-life because they know that the word abortion is not in the Constitution and it has nothing to say about it, those same people who think like they do, like Scalia, are going to be the same people, whether Donald Trump likes it or not, who will vote against same-sex marriage and return it to the states where it belongs.
David, I want to pick up on one thing that you said there. You used the word perhaps a prelude to revival, I think, that
yes.
you said in America. Why don't you expand upon that a little bit? Because not too many people have made a comment such as that. We know that God answered prayer, but tell us yes. what you're thinking about that, if you would.
If Hillary Clinton had won the election, she would have led this country into a very dark place, from which we never, ever would return. That's how desperate and dangerous this election was. With Donald Trump, even though in many ways he has a lot of liberal attitudes in a lot of areas, the good thing about Donald Trump is the right people like him and the wrong people hate him. Hmm. And he's going to remember that when he wants to get reelected. He is going, if he sticks to his word, he knows he needs us. If he sticks to his word, he can help lead America, without intending it, into a brighter spot, into a brighter light. America needs a revival. We need it badly.
David, if I could follow up on that quickly, and Sam, I think what David just said there is a mouthful. The Bible teaches in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation or elevates to a prominent place a nation, but sin is a reproach or sin is a defamation. Sin reduces to nothing any people. And I think it's critical for our audience to understand that's what David's talking about. Where Hillary Clinton would have taken us would have been in direct opposition to anything that is righteous, to anything that is godly, to anything that is scriptural. And by taking us that path, further down that path, it would have literally precipitated the destruction of the United States of America. David, I think what you said, without even knowing it, Donald Trump is doing something with his stance with respect to marriage, the platform position of the GOP this time with respect to the life of the unborn, his support, his unequivocal statements of support for the nation of Israel. All of those things elevate a nation in God's eyes and
Absolutely.
Elevate a nation on the world stage. And so what we've been given, we've used this term, Sam, David, we've used this term. Mm-hmm. We've been given a respite last
yep.
Tuesday. What we now yep. must pray for incessantly is for the revival to follow that respite.
David but Kistler, you know, let me follow up quickly with you, David Kistler here. You used that word there. No one here or anyone should think that Donald Trump is going to be the answer to anything, but emphasize again, what's it going to take for a revival to occur? And we should pray for that, should we not, David Kistler?
Absolutely, we should, Sam. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a principle that needs to be underscored over and over again. If my people, the ones called by my name, God says, shall humble themselves. I think this election cycle was a serious humbling of God's people. If we will humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked way, then God says, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal your land, send revival.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue with David New. And I'm going to ask him a question relative to what happens if the Trump administration does as they say, and that actually designates the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. They ought to be, because they are. But what do we expect from that? We'll talk to him in the next segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
Here's Minute with a Master, brought to you by Bella Victor.
Today's question is, what is the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of being prudent and sensible. In the Bible, wisdom is linked to the way we live and run our lives. James 3 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good conduct, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good work, impartial and sincere." God's wisdom brings peace to a conflict situation. May we learn to live and operate in our spiritual self and not in our carnal self.
This is A Liberating Truth, brought to you by Bella Victor. For more information, contact Bella at MinuteWithTheMaster.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
David New, I want to go to you right now, because we've been talking on this program about the how the media, the controlled media, has just been relentless and remain relentless, trying to bring down this administration. You said earlier that there's something significant about the Trump-Pence team, and that the enemies that have that really have gone after them are really the enemies of freedom. one of those things that are coming forth, I think, is going to find its way in whether or not and if the Trump administration actually goes ahead and does what many are asking for and they've given indication of, and that is designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, knowing the fact that you have guys like Valerie Jarrett in the White House, Uma Abedin with Hillary Clinton, CIA lead, Homeland Security. The Muslim Brotherhood, David New, is all throughout this government. Speculate, if you could, a little bit, or tell me what you would sense could be the effect if now the Department of Justice and the White House actually began to enforce the law, and those individuals like that, who were all about destroying America, actually went from a position of influence to a position of a designated terrorist accomplishment. What? Speak to that a little bit, because I see this as a looming issue.
Absolutely. The Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization and is one, has been one, and was a terrorist organization from day one. Just before I go into more details about that, I want to talk about a passage that David quoted. He quoted Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." That passage, ladies and gentlemen, was used in 1864 and 1865 as justification for the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States to ban slavery. The people that were arguing against slavery were saying it was a sin. Congress, that passage is quoted by Congress, saying slavery is a sin. And look at Proverbs verse 34, 14:34. Excellent passage David quoted. Now, about the Muslim Brotherhood. Anybody wants to know their true colors, look at the very first president that Egypt ever elected and what that guy did. He was overthrown by the Egyptian military. He was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they said, "You elect us, we won't do anything naughty." They even wrote a nice little article in the New York Times, because those people are dumb enough to print it. And they said, "We're not going to do anything naughty if you elect the Muslim Brotherhood as the first president, the first elected president of Egypt." What did he do? Within a year, he wanted to shut down the Supreme Court of Egypt. He wanted to reduce the powers of the legislative branch in Egypt. He basically wanted to make himself a dictator. That's the very first thing this guy does, and then the Egyptian military overthrew him. That's the true colors of these people. And until you know who your enemy is, you don't know who you should fight.
Well, David New, basically what you're saying then is that it is appropriate that they are designated. We are in a degree of trouble because they have not been designated as they are. And there's going to be some pushback for that. Now, David Kistler, I want to ask you a question here, and then I want to have time here for David New. I want to ask you to pray for us upon the close of this program, okay? Because we're trying to do that every day. We need to do that. But David Kistler, really what we're talking about here is that we have a level of trouble because this administration, the Department of Justice, have not been enforcing the law. They have not been prosecuting criminal activity but coddling it. Now you've got a Trump administration that says we are going to prosecute according to the law and we're going to begin doing things the right way. There's got to be a real rub here. There's got to be a biblical principle involved in what we either, how we got to this trouble or position, or what we may expect when justice, the sort of justice, swings back in doing what it's supposed to do.
Sam, there is a biblical principle, and it's found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 11, which says this: "Because the sentence against a criminal act is not carried out quickly, the heart of people is filled with the desire to commit crime." What we have had for 8 years is a Justice Department. We've had an administration that has been the most lawless in the history of the United States of America. And because they've been lawless, it has caused people to feel as if they can commit crime, and they're filled with a heart desirous to commit crime. The same thing is true with the Muslim Brotherhood. If these people are designated, as David said, as what they literally are, a criminal enterprise, they are a terrorist organization, they are a lot of things that they could be called, but if at least they are labeled a terrorist entity and they're dealt with under a Trump administration accordingly, then what that will do is set in action a course for this country where that which is wrong will understand I cannot get by with my wrongdoing, and that which is right and just and equitable will understand that can be advanced in this country. So this is a pivotal, pivotal decision that needs to be made by the Trump administration.
And Dave, I'm going to follow up there before I ask David New to lead us in prayer and pray for some of these things, is that I know there are people in Congress, in leadership, who are saying, you know, we don't want to do this because think how these individuals are going to react. They may become hostile because they're identified as really what they truly are. And they are inclined not to enact justice, Dave. But the reality is, by enacting justice relative to this issue or to illegal immigrants, have we not in fact suffered a greater harm by not implementing the law than what we may have by the pushback of evildoers, where the sword of justice actually swings the right way?
Absolutely, Sam. You never do wrong by doing right. Right is the right thing to do, and you do right, the consequences will flow the right direction. That's just a biblical principle based on Ecclesiastes 8.
And that's what we want to pray for. David New, I'm going to ask you, if you could, to close the program. Pray that justice will be done, that those in positions of authority, we're to pray for them anyway, but that they will do their primary obligation, which is to enact justice, be it in this way or any other way. And however God leads you to pray, if you could, close us today on this program.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we approach thy throne of grace, and by the authority of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we offer prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Father, at this time we lift up Donald Trump. We ask that you would bless him, give him wisdom and guidance. Dear Father, we pray for the new members of Congress. We pray for wisdom and guidance that they will understand and acknowledge that in God we trust. That is the motto of this nation, and that our laws should reflect that reality. This is one nation, dear Father, in Jesus' name, under God. We pray that our Supreme Court will accept that and acknowledge that and rule accordingly, according to justice. Justice, dear Father. And by the authority of Jesus Christ, we claim the blood of the Lamb for the remission of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. David New, thank you so much for that. And David Kistler, as we just wrap it up here right now, you know, I appreciate what you have said and you do as an evangelist when you travel the country. You preach what the gospel says, what the Word of God says. David New, you are an attorney who put into effect biblical principles. On this program, we try to apply biblical principles to the issues of the day so that our God's people know how to think and how to act accordingly. So with that regard, ladies and gentlemen, we pray and we ask that you stand in the gap for truth, applying a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. Don't be confused as the media tries to lead us. Stand up, stand in the gap for truth where you are. Now we ask you, join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now. Our special guest will be IQ Al-Rasuli, author of Unveiling Islam, as we travel around the world, giving an perspective of what the world now thinks about Donald Trump and what and how they're reacting. See you tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180, WFYL.